Feels different to be down here on the floor with you. Wish we could be a little bit closer, but this is good. I wanted to maybe invite everybody to my office for the rest of the service, but this will be okay. And great passage describing Jesus and how he would come and change lives forever. And as Brian pointed out, written 700 years before the birth of Christ, interesting that it's pretty much spoken in the prophetic perfect tense as if it already happened. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and it goes to show you that in time, in terms of God's perspective, time's not a problem. He sees the end from the beginning, and we're glad he could work in that way. But you and I benefit greatly from taking advice from people who are older than us and focusing in on the title, Jesus as Wonderful Counselor. And you think, as God through Isaiah wanted to describe the coming of his Son, how different that he should... We would say amen right away. Oh, Everlasting Father, that's right. Mighty God, yes, we understand that part. And Prince of Peace, we understand that part. But almost a different aspect of our relationship with the Lord, but a very powerful one. Wonderful Counselor. You know, who would have picked the counselor as a calling for which Jesus would have toward you and I? Now, we have different counsels in our life. We might have legal counsel. That's good. We might have counsel for cognitive difficulties, a psychologist. And but you and I have a counselor. His name is Jesus. And God wanted to reveal himself to us in that way. So the Lord dignifies for all time that calling. In the Hebrew, the word counselor means to advise, to plan, or to have purpose. And just like you and I, we need medical doctors. Hopefully you have one, you go to one, you know, when you have the aches and pains, or once a year to see how the blood's working and all that. And you probably have a dentist. If you don't, you should. You keep those things straight and well polished if they're not actually your own or whatever. Or you need a counselor also, and God provides that through his Son Jesus. And notice who Jesus came to. He came to those walking in darkness and those who were in the land of death's shadow. Okay, they were the Gentiles. And so the hard-hearted people far away from God, God would send his Son to minister among. Jesus' primary ministry among the Gentiles there up by the Sea of Galilee. So that's God's heart for people in trouble and people in despair. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wanted believers to move into a close contact with as many irreligious and lost people as possible. In fact, he said this quote, which is kind of powerful, but I think it rings true, especially at Christmas. Jesus lived in the midst of his enemies. He was not sheltered, but he lived in the thick of his foes. Whether it was the Romans, Jewish religious authorities, or Gentiles, Jesus was always banging heads with somebody. Okay. Now, Bonhoeffer said this, if you sit not with the bad people, but only with the devout people, you betray Jesus. That's quite a statement. If you sit not with the bad people, but only with the devout people, you betray Jesus. Because if Jesus would have done that, who would have been spared? Okay. So it's a calling in your life. Who are you called to? Not just to be with the Christians. Go and, as in Bonhoeffer's word, sit with the bad people. And if you're whoever you're sitting close to, you're already doing that. Right? Amen. So we're glad the Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, the Hebrew people valued very, very much wise counsel, somewhat different than our culture. In our culture, what is usually emphasized is what you think. It's what you think is important, you know, and make your own decisions and think for yourself and all that. But in the Hebrew culture, getting direction from other people, oh, that's really something. And that's really special. So we want to learn a little bit from how God worked in that way. Psalm 33:10 mentions the counsel of God. The counsel of the Lord stands firm forever, the thoughts of God's heart to all generations. So he is working to any generation here. And Ephesians 1:11 says this, God works out everything according to the counsel of his will. So when you and I go through crossroad times, decision times, or troubled times, they're open doors for us to meet Jesus as wonderful counselor. Wonderful counselor. And you think of the word wonderful, it means not just an adjective, like a little bit better than great, but one who makes us wonder and be in awe of. Okay, we'll see in Colossians chapter 2, Jesus is described as having all treasure of wisdom and knowledge. How would you like to be referred to a counselor like that? Go and see this man. He has all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. You would say, yeah, how do I get an appointment? You don't need an appointment. Okay, he's available all the time. If you would turn to him and say, I need help, I have problems, I can't figure out life by myself. Wonderful counselor, Jesus. Proverbs 15:12 says this, he who listens to counsel is a wise man. You think about your walk with God. Probably 75 to 90% of who you are as a Christian is a result of somebody else giving you counsel. Okay? It wasn't just you and Jesus on a desert island and you came back and, you know, here you are with your maturity. No, but it was your family having input, your neighbors, brothers and sisters in Christ. Lost people also can be used by God to give direction. Okay, God does that. He's able to do that. And so, blessed is he who listens to counsel. Psalm 32, God promises, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. So God counsels us through his relationship with us. He just doesn't give us information. Heard a secular writer this week say, we as a group of people are becoming more and more attached to the Google machine. That was his phrase, the Google machine. If I want to know something about problems, I'll go on Google and write problems, you know. And I expect the Google machine to give me some information so I know how to solve my problems. Well, it's not going to be what I need. Information's available out there. Nowadays, supposedly, the computer generation really doesn't respect someone who has accomplished a lot in the academic field. Why? Because I can get the same stuff on the internet. But this guy took 4 years to attain. I could just go for it on the internet. But we need more than information. We need relationship and wisdom and counsel. And that most often comes through another living person, the Lord or people. So look for relationships where God can use you to pass on the wonderful counsel of Jesus, and for Jesus to relate to your own soul as wonderful counselor and also be used by him. So God relates to us. He knows our thoughts, will, and emotions the best. And one great thing about the Lord among many is that he knows us through and through. He knows our problems better than we do, and he's able to minister. And often, if you're like me, you think, boy, I wish God would give me specific counsel on a problem that's I just don't know where to turn, right or left. Many Bible teachers say this, and I found it true. If we follow God in the clear counsel that he gives, then we'll be able to follow God in the foggy times in our lives. The clear counsel that he gives, turn to Christ. Repent of sin. Love God with everything you have. Love your neighbor as yourself. As you do those things, in the foggy times, you're more likely to hear God's voice and follow him. If I'm not loving God or my neighbor or worshiping God, and there's a tough decision, I say, God, give me a clear answer to this problem I have. I'm not going to be able to hear the Lord very well because I'm rejecting everything else He's telling me. Okay. So Jesus as the counselor wants to share with us truth that can set us free. And this is wisdom and knowledge that we need desperately. That's the part of the revelation I think God gives us here in Isaiah. Remember, we were in the land of darkness, walking in the land of death's shadow. And that's what life is without God. Darkness and spiritual death crouching right where we're at. And so I wanted to give you some thoughts about how Jesus gives counsel and the basics of counseling the Lord can pass on. And so the Holy Spirit does this for us, both directly to us and through us to one another. So I wanted to give four basic truths of counseling and the scripture foundation of them. Okay, and I think you'll see how the Lord works in these truths, and then we can be alert to them in our own soul and in other people's soul. So here's four basic truths of counseling. First one, everyone struggles with everything. Okay, that's the news. Everyone struggles with everything. And I'll give a scripture afterwards. Number two, everyone is wrong. Everyone is wrong in some aspect of their lives. Number three, everyone is loved. So now the door starts to open for the counselor to do his work. And number four, everyone can be set free. No problem, too great, too complicated, where Jesus can't get you up on His shoulders and walk you through it. Okay? Just to review those with some scripture behind them. Everyone struggles with everything. This is very critical for the body of Christ to know and to admit. You don't want to be in a fellowship where sin is denied in terms of saying, well, we don't have any. That's what you call a blind fellowship or a false fellowship. A false fellowship sees Christ, but also sees the sin in our own lives. So, everyone struggles with everything. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Because none of us are perfectly obedient in any area of our lives. Okay? That's a good thing. You should write that down in your Bible. I am not obedient perfectly in any area of my life. Therefore, we need God's help. Everyone struggles with everything. Another confirming verse on that is 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you are standing firm, be careful so you don't fall. Okay. Where you think you have it all together, you don't have it all together. You're probably going to fall in that area. In fact, you're probably fairly far away from God, where you think you're strong. So everyone struggles with everything. Number two, everyone is wrong. We would have to say that. Jesus is right. We are being corrected throughout our lives. So all we like sheep have gone astray. That's foundational to understand ourselves and to understand other believers. Okay? Everyone is wrong. Number two, so there's comfort in that, you know, if you trying to help somebody, don't take too much pride when you turn to them and say, did you know you're wrong? You'll be telling them the truth. And if they look back at you and say, oh yeah, you're wrong too, you say, amen. So you can recognize that we are sheep who have gone astray. And when God calls us sheep, it was not meant to be a complimentary analogy. Okay? Sheep get lost. They're defenseless. They're dirty and they smell. Okay. So everyone is wrong. Everyone is loved, for God so loved the world. Any person in trouble or in trial, a person in sin, God loves that person. He's all about rescuing them and moving to them, moving to us when we have those big problems. And then everyone can be set free. This is the great part. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this That was the last part of the verse about God's kingdom starting to grow in the human heart and then in the whole life of the person. Everyone can be set free. Ephesians 2 says, when you were dead, Christ made you alive. You can't get any more not free than dead. But Jesus makes us alive. And then John chapter 8, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So there things about our soul and the souls of the people around us that we should keep in mind when we look for Jesus as wonderful counselor to have ministry. We need Him desperately, and we need to, as He ministers to us, we're more able to help others in the troubles that they have. And that's, of course, what we're called to. Remember Paul, he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, God is the God of all compassion because He's able to help others the same way He helped you. And if you say, well, God only helped me a little bit, that means you will only help somebody else a little bit. God helped you a lot. He'll help others a lot through you. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. And I wanted to highlight only one attribute of Jesus as wonderful counselor in that we can anticipate for our soul and also pass on to others in ministry. And it's the quality and the attribute of unconditional love and listening. So how does God first impact us? When we have a problem, unconditional love and listening. He knows, but we're to do that for one another also. And I think this quality of Jesus is the one most missing in Christian fellowship. Unconditional love and listening. For example, almost all believers with a good Bible concordance can tell you right from wrong. Almost all believers with a good Bible concordance can straighten you out. Okay? Your brother and sister in Christ, they can straighten you out about worship, about prayer, about marriage, relationships, you know, raising children. The information is available. Anybody with a good concordance who's a Christian can help somebody else with the truth. However, not everybody who's a Christian listens to the other believer with unconditional love and a heart that's open to them. It's a rare thing. And so very often the truth can't be heard because the heart has not been offered and the ear has not been given to the person who is in trouble. So Jesus' unconditional love and listening, He can teach us how to do that. And so when we come across problems that are painful and complex, it's real important that Jesus in us, we let Him shine as somebody who loves unconditionally and listens to the brokenness before us. I put down six main problems that are repetitive in the human experience. Six main problems. And you've probably experienced these. You may be doing so now. And certainly your brothers and sisters in Christ have, and also people who don't know the Lord have. Most common one nowadays, really, a loneliness. Loneliness it just saturates our society. Loneliness. To hear that problem and to see God move in on it. The second one is guilt. Real guilt before God. Only Christ can bring help there. And another one is grieving. Much loss. And God made our hearts after the fall to be able to heal through grieving. Next very common problem, depression-anxiety. Getting wiped out with multiple disappointments, you might say. And feeling life is not in our control and then we're threatened by it. The two more would be broken relationships, which are fairly frequent. Usually it's a forgiveness and anger issue there. And the last one would be addictions. Repeated behavior with an attempt to find comfort for the troubled soul. So those are some of the the normal ones. We'll do a prayer exercise in closing for those ones. But what we are weak in, Jesus can help us with His unconditional love and listening. And I wanted to give one example of this from Billy Graham's grandson that I think you'll be able to relate to. Again, the point of who Jesus is, looking at our soul, and then what we do for one another. Billy Graham's grandson writes this, and it ties into, if you follow the example, it ties into counseling here. Relationships that are most healthy and least exhausting have high levels of grace, mercy, and unconditional love. Okay? So if you want to be helpful to others, like Jesus has been helpful to you, high level of grace, mercy, and unconditional love. That's what you want to be expressing. The most unhealthy relationships and tiresome relationships focus only on expected behavior. Okay? This is what I expect out of you all. And this is what you expect out of me. If you only focus in on that, there won't be much help one to another. It'll be an exhausting relationship. The example, which I think is clear, and it'll see how God works in other relationships. If you go back to friendship days or dating days, let's say you are courting two people. Okay, you're going to marry one of them. The first one, at the beginning and end of every date, they say to you, "I require a high level of commitment and closeness in my relationship with you." That's what you hear at the beginning of the date, and right before they say goodbye, they say, "I require a high level of commitment and closeness in my relationship with you." And so you hear that, and you say, "Oh, I wonder if I measured up in this particular time with so-and-so." The second person does not say that. Instead, what they do throughout the relationship, they love you spontaneously. They express a lot of mercy and grace. They seem very, very interested in what you're up to, and they share their life freely with you. You're thinking, wow, when I'm with the second person over here, I feel like my wings are soaring. When I'm with that first person, I walk away feeling like if they gave me one more expectation that I can't live up to, I am going to be crushed. Okay. Hopefully you don't find yourself in a long-term relationship like that. God can get you to turn the card over a bit. But in terms of those two relationships, you're going to marry the second one all the time. All the time. Or if you had two counselors you went to. First one, I have a high level of expectations for you. The other one, he or she listens. Two Christian friends that you can go to when you have a problem. The first one says, "I'm going to give you the information you need. Do this and don't do that." Pat you on the head and say goodbye. The second one, they listen to you. They love you. Jesus says a sympathetic Savior. You know, he sees our problems in every way. And so that's more like Jesus the second way. He knows our struggles, and He can set us free from the penalty and power of sin, step by step. And it was said about Jesus in the prophet Isaiah that He has the spirit of understanding, counsel, and power. So, as a prayer exercise in closing, think of Jesus as the wonderful counselor for you and I, which He is. How is He going to minister to us? First, we have to admit our need. We have to admit we have problems for which we are in need of great counsel, both from Him and probably from Him through other believers. That's critical. And He offers us His unconditional love as we come to Him with our pain and difficulty. And I think God wants to make you that kind of person also, through whom the wonderful counselor can shine. Okay, and again, just as a word of challenge or call to repentance, the quality of unconditional love and listening is quite often missing in any particular fellowship, because it's something that causes you to put yourself on hold and jump into the world of the other person. And so God can do this very, very well. But in our closing time, a prayer for the different needs I mentioned that are very common to the human heart. Remember, if anybody thinks they stand, they will fall in these areas. But also there are people, more importantly, I think there are people around us who are troubled in these manners, and Jesus as the wonderful counselor is available to them and often available to them through Christian brothers and sisters. So you and I could be this way. Here, we'll close in prayer. Father in heaven, ask that we get to know you more and more as how you revealed yourself in your word, the everlasting Father, that from all eternity you wanted that closeness with us, and mighty God, Prince of Peace, Father, for our own soul, but also wonderful counselor. You'd give us that direction, that plan, and you'd hear our soul as we lean upon you. Father, we put before you the different problems that are common to all of us. And as we said, everyone struggles with everything. So we pray for your counsel in these areas, and that you would use us and have our souls be open to you as we deal with them. For the problem of loneliness, hear our prayers, Lord. Set those who are lonely in families so that they might know Jesus as a friend and be a friend to many people as we gain strength from you, Lord. Hear our prayers. Father, we pray for those struggling with guilt. And for some of us, Lord, we need to feel real guilt because we shut you out when we don't let you talk to us about truth. And also, Lord, for some we're haunted by guilt when you would say you're forgiven. So might the truth of no condemnation in Christ be known to each one of us, and to be able to pass that on to a broken world. Hear our prayers in regards to guilt. And Father, as we pray also for grieving people or those depressed or anxious, I thank you. Your word says you hold their tears in a bottle. You weep with those who weep, Lord, as you instructed us to do. So show yourself as one who lifts up the fallen emotionally. And we hear you say you're the resurrection and the life for any situation of loss. Hear our prayers.